Welcome to the IPX True North podcast, where we connect people, processes, and tools.
So good morning to everyone. My name is Brandi Taylor. I am the VP of Services for the Institute for Process Excellence, or IPX. This morning, I have a unique and really fun opportunity to speak with a gentleman who I have gotten to work with over the past few years and who I really admire and respect very much. You're leading fantastic things and have a lot of really great experience and knowledge to share with everybody. So Mr. McKinney, welcome and good morning to you.
Well, good morning. It's always been a lot of fun working with you as well. Learn a lot every time that you help out, and that's important. I mean, this is a two-way street always.
Excellent. All right. Well, you know, thanks again for taking the time to share with us today, because gosh, I think we could spend way more than the time allotted talking about all sorts of things. Your history is huge. There's lots of really great stories I know that you've shared with me over the years. But today we're going to talk about the IPX Congress. What is the IPX Congress? Why was it started? And the mission of this fantastic group of individuals. So it's an interesting topic, and I think it's a really fun one to share.
I do too. I always enjoy talking about it.
Me too. It's a good group. So Mr. McKinney, I guess, just to kind of warm up the room a little bit, I'm guessing a lot of our listeners probably have known you or met you along the way here, but there's a chance that there could be some that haven't. So why don't you just give us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, as you know, I'm pretty shy and retiring, so we'll see if we can't get that fixed today. One thing that people always ask me, you know, what is my experience? And I said, well, after steel was invented, I decided to take a particular path, and that was taking a look at things I could design mechanically. So throughout my career, starting back in the 80s, I've worked in heavy sheet steel. I've worked with commercial and industrial equipment, and I migrated into ventilation systems in commercial and industrial environments. So the commercial side of that is the restaurant side. So I have a lot of experience with exhaust and supply fans for that on a particular types of systems that are the big hoods that you see in the kitchens these days. So very much familiar with that, as well as some of the other small things that literally make the world go around with bearing balls. I had an opportunity to do machinery design for high-speed manufacturer of bearing balls. That was as close to the second best job I've had ever. It was just, here's a blank plate, just go out and make things go faster, better, farther. And I'm sitting there going, can do. So I learned a lot there. It led into my best job, which was in consumer products and to where I'm at today. So I got a feel for working with Gen Air in Indianapolis. And they started a discovery center. So we would bring in as a great big package of people. We had tool designers, we had tool purchasers, we had our own marketing reps, we had all these people there just to support us as design people and to make whatever the company wanted to come out on the other side to be our benefit. I'm seeing a lot of that now with Sub-Zero Group, but they're breaking it up into little smaller, little subcultures. It's a little bit easier for the teams to manage. And that makes sense. We're talking about, you know, cooking and refrigeration and dishwashing, all under one umbrella, and actually in the innovation center now, all under one roof. Prototype shops are there, marketing, everybody who needs to support our new product development has now got their home. And that's brand new as of this year. People are moving in and they're starting to fill up the offices. So that's exciting going forward. So we have to take a look at this from a bigger systems standpoint, and that's my job now, is to say, how can we get all this integrated together so that it works with our PLM, ERP systems, PDM? Where do we go from here with MBD, MBE? How does all of this tie together? So I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now. This is a more concentrated effort than I've ever put into CM over the past few years. And this has been a lot of fun from an enterprise standpoint. Can be frustrating and it can be trying, but there's no job without those two components being frustrating and a little trying at times. But overall, it's good.
Excellent. You know, I had just a comment that you made about something earlier in your career where you had an opportunity to make something better, faster, farther. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's a really great statement about you in general. I feel like that's what you're always focused on. It seems to me, and it's kind of a theme for you.
Yeah. If you can walk away from a job when you're done with it and say, I made it better, and then come back to it years later. I'll give you an example at Gen Air. I just thought of this one. The very first wall oven I worked on was one that was given to me as, we need to have a ground up redesign on this. I can do that. Here's a team you're going to pull together to do this. Great. Had manufacturing engineering. They set everything up and they would come back and we'd have a build and they'd come back and say, Mike, we need to do this, this, and this. Great. When we finally went into production, we went into production on that very first day of production. We flipped the switch early because they completed all the existing run early that shift, in one shift. We said, we're running four hours worth of equipment down the line. It started down the line and there were no gaps. There were no breaks. The operators were putting it all together. They didn't have to go back and refer to out of date or poorly worded work instructions. It was going down the line. And I turned back and I looked at it one last time and somebody goes, what are you looking for? And so they're going, I've never done that before. Where as part of the team, it's running down the line smoothly without any issues. And we followed all the rules. We did everything that the company was asking us to do to make sure it's safe. It's what we need. It's what the delivery, the reliability is going to be there in our forefront. It happened. And I'm sitting there going, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. And never did. And if you can do that, you can walk away from it and then circle back around a few months later. Or how are we doing? Well, we're doing great, but we keep getting this or that or the other thing in wrong. Well, we can fix that. Oh, yeah, they're taking care of it. Yeah, you know, they're doing that. But we never stopped innovating and we never stopped trying little things, little tweaks. Well, what happens if we take this and make this hole bigger? This actually happened. We ended up with feedback on the air intake systems and it just would not cool the units properly. And it's just a little tiny hole. It wasn't very big. And so everybody said, well, we tried it. Doesn't work. We move on with life. And so they're going, very good. Let's go. Yeah, high speed, low drag is what I've always said. I really like working for companies that are high speed and low drag. I'm an Indiana kid. So, you know, I just described the Indianapolis 500, high speed and low drag.
There you go. Yeah. Excellent. I love it. And that's a really great story because sometimes those moments in time are so few and far between where everything just works and you did a great job and you can have that moment of, it's so satisfying when you have everything that pulls together in the right way. So excellent. Very cool. You know, I guess for you and I think the common thread that helped us meet originally is obviously through IPX, but really the common core is, you know, CM2. I just think that it seems to be a common core of how a lot of people are meeting together, at least in our environment, it seems. So I guess I'd like to ask you, you know, thinking about, you know, your history of where did you get introduced to IPX and CM2 and what was that catalyst?
Yeah, that's very interesting. We started to roll out our PLM system and, you know, Ken Black has the famous saying where tools lead, fools follow, where processes lead, tools follow. So we kind of experienced that. We rolled out our brand new PLM system. It took us about 2.5-3 years to do that. We followed the suggestions. One thing, I know there's some consultancy with IPX, but I'll try to smooth this out as easy as I can. Don't take everything that consultant tells you as 100% fact. You know, you have to kind of parse through it for your own company. But we did. We bit it off whole and said, this is what we're going to do. And it did not roll out properly. And there was just too many open questions. And we just did not know why. We didn't know what the questions we needed to ask, period. We brought in more consultants and then more consultants. And one of the consultants said, you know, somebody needs to be CM certified. You need at least one CM certified person that's going to change the world. Okay, well, that's not really how it really happens. And so I started looking around and IPX was online. And I think it was pretty new. It was back in 2013, 2012. So it was pretty new to IPX when they did this. And I'm saying, well, it's online. We're only out whatever time and money that I take to study this. Every day I'd go home and listen to the teachings of Ray Wozniak. And it was interesting. I had either just experienced what he was teaching on my online course, or I would go in the next day and somebody would have a question on what I just talked about. Or what I just learned the night before. And I'm sitting there going, wow, the power of this is not that it's so unique, it's that it's so common. You're writing it down for people to say, here's a thread that you can follow. And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, we'll try that. So I kept talking to the powers that be. We have to get some more people trained in this. It's reading really well. It's explaining to us why our PLM system is working the way it's working. And at the time, it was Agile by Oracle, which was a 4-star rated certified company with IPX. We keep going. And I said, well, the next class is down in Charleston. They didn't have the, was it 4, 5, 6, and 7 all laid out yet in online. So I went down to Charleston and got to meet the man, the myth, the legend of Ray Wozniak. And lo and behold, he had rolled out Agile 2 at various companies, and he had 3 goes at it. One was not very well done. One was kind of okay. And then the last one was good because they mapped out all the processes. And he was coming up here to talk to all of our senior level managements. You know, this is what you need to do. He goes, what do I need to concentrate on? I said, that story right there. You failed, you partially succeeded, then you did succeed. You lay that out for them, and then they'll understand. I've been there before. I can help you out of this hole. So it's been very interesting to see how I got introduced to CM, which was, I'm sitting there going, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll be the sacrificial lamb. Throw me on the fire. Because I, you know, had a 50-50 shot that actually would roll out anywhere. It's not that I'm a great salesman. I think it's Ray as I was just a frustrated learner. So, because I didn't want to be, you know, do you ever want to be associated with something that didn't work?
Yeah, that's a hard one.
At that level.
At that level. So.
Yeah, I feel like it's a common theme there with a lot of people who believe in CM2 is, you know, when they got introduced to it, it was one of those things where, you know, I'm the sacrificial lamb. You know what? I want to fix this. You know, that this could be the best thing or the hardest thing. And I'm ready to just dive in. Let me just try it. I'm willing to take the risk. And I feel like it all, every single person that I've spoken with has had some moment similar to that of, is this going to, you know, be a good thing for me? And every single person, it's just like you said, the answer is always there, right? There's a common foundation that always helps you answer every question that everyone seems to come at you with. So that's kind of a fun, thanks for sharing that. That's kind of a fun story. Okay. So, you know, I think that that helps us understand how you got to, you know, introduced to IPX and with CM2. So now, you know, I know you are one of the founding fathers for the IPX Congress Committee, and I'd like to hear about that and how that kind of came to fruition in the beginning.
Well, to be honest with you, the driving force behind the IPX Congress was Todd Egan. He was still with GE Aerospace at that time. I think he was working on the, what is it, the 9X engine with GE. One of the 2015 symposium in Denver, we got together, and Todd had talked about this for a couple of years. And I was one of those people who would listen to what he said. Yeah, that's interesting. It sounds like a good idea. We need to add that voice of the customer type thing with IPX. So he gets us together at 2015, and he drags Ray, and he drags in Joe. Yeah, says, here's what we want to do. Let's get together and set it up. So there were a couple of people who threw their hands up and said, you know what? What the hey? It's a good ride. We'll try it. So I threw my hand up and said, yeah, I can volunteer. I can do that. The only thing this is going to cost me is an opportunity to meet people, which again, you know, I'm shy and retiring. And also it was Martijn Delart, and I just met him. Walter Mueller was in there. Well, there was a whole bunch of people, and I'll explain the 2015 significance here in just a second. So there's a lot of people that said, you know, we need this. We need to have this round table, if you will, if nothing else, with IPX and making sure that we're all on the same page. So that 2015 class of CM2Ps that showed up for training at that symposium, here's my class. Martin, who is the only PhD CM2 person out there in the world, he was in that class. So was Martijn Delart. Martijn is, you would say he's kind of a big wig with ASML as far as CM2. He has his own MDUCs. Take a look at his own website. It's a really interesting website. Also, Eric was in there with ASML, who's now taking on a new position with them. Sitting to my left was Baris Kocabaşlı. It was Turkey. He is now our co-chair of this. Next to him was Mo Parker. He just keeps getting better because we turn the corner and there's the seating arrangement was Rachel Holyoke. I forget who they're with now. Martin Paul Nelson was in my class, all Northrop. And I'm sitting there going, you kind of look around the room going, what am I doing here? I've got the wrong class apparently because these people are a step above. But it was one of the most interesting groups of people to bring together just to sit there and listen. The challenges they're facing, how to overcome them. And I'm sitting there going, you know, this Congress thing might just work. And that's been some of the comments I've had from new members that when we get together face to face, they're going, it's amazing how professional you guys are with each other. Sometimes you catch that glimpse of jealousy because you're not, or envy, and you're not hearing that. You're sharing, you're trying to understand. And that's where we want to foster that Congress feeling. So yeah, that's the driving force behind it, was that we needed to make sure that we were, you know, trying to giving that feedback loop both to IPX and getting that feedback from IPX. So
very cool. Well, it sounds like it was the right people at the right time and the right conversation. And it just was kind of a magical moment in some ways.
Yeah, it was.
Very cool. So, you know, I do understand that there is an official charter for the IPX Congress. Tell me more about the purpose of the committee. What does the charter say?
The charter is kind of a symbol for CM2. So the charter is basically our guidebook for our day-to-day operations. So we sat down and we said, well, what do we want to actually outline in any given charter? I'm going to draw this back to an analogy, everything I say right now, back to CM2. So what did I just describe there? Well, I described that we're going to outline a set of administrative requirements. And those, they're going to spring into our core processes, and our core processes are going to spring into our operating standards, and our operating standards are going to spring into our administrative procedures. If you take a look at that, just from a top-down level, I'm explaining everything that I'm going through as CM2. So we're structured our charter in terms of requirements, who's going to own them based on major sections. Major sections then get broken down into those core processes of how do you elect someone? You know, what is a member in good standing? What are the levels of membership? Those are the things that we're breaking down. Those are the requirements that we're breaking down and distilling it into the core processes. And then each one of those last subsections or subparagraphs, that becomes your operating standard. It says, this is how you're going to do it. So even, we've even tabulated some of that inside the charter itself. It just says, if you want to elect a or nominate someone for membership, what is the process? Well, we've got that under change, and that change is going to get a hold of the co-chair, and the co-chair will take it from there. And it's the co-chair's responsibility to make sure that we're following the processes by which to make it easy for someone to get a hold of us, for someone to actually become a member. But we have some standards that we have to meet there as well. You have to be a CM2P to be a voting member, and our CM2C to be what we call a contributing member. So that's someone who gets to be involved with everything, but you don't get to vote on anything because we want you to be a CM2P. We really want you to be that because it opens up the next level of doors for you to say, Mike, I need some help, and I'm going to listen, and I'll help. So that's what we're there for. We have on the very front of that cover of that charter, it's a globe. It's a worldwide thing. Our co-chair is from Turkey, is Turkish. But on the outside of that, our motto is very simple, to inspire, connect, and mentor. So if you want to be a member of the Congress, meet that motto first. And then we'll talk about getting you CM2P certified. So
I like it. It's simple, clear, concise. I like it very much. You know, I guess, you know, thinking a little deeper now about the Congress, what industries are represented by the Congress today?
I did not have a chance to look up all 14 of them, but it's aerospace, agricultural equipment, consumer products. Very proud of my consumer products fans out there. We are not the biggest group that's being represented out there, but we certainly are the most active when we vote. And I'm really proud of my consumer products kids because we keep turning out the vote. You know, I'm sitting there going, that's, you know, I just want to see that vote. Come on. I don't care who you vote for, yes, no, up, down. I don't really care. But just aerospace is second. Defense industries are out there. We have a lot of those. We've heard about Northrop Grumman. But that's aerospace overall. That's a pretty big umbrella that we're going to throw around Northrop. Let's see, medical devices is out there. We've got those. We've got not software, but we certainly have the people who make the chips. We have ASML out there, so computer hardware at a chip level. And hopefully coming soon, we're going to have a new capture for medical devices. We're going to be throwing in a new person into that group for medical insurance documentation and handling, which is something that we've always wanted to try and probe into, not only from a CM2 standpoint, but from an IPX standpoint. I just happen to be living in the right spot for it because Epic Software, my chart, the people who do that software, they're 6 minutes down the road. So maybe I can work on them to get some people CM2 certified.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
I got them living all around me, so I don't know why I don't have somebody to talk to.
Sounds like you got a task. You know, it sounds pretty diverse in a lot of very highly regulated industries.
Oh, I don't want to forget our education people. Oh, shoot. Purdue. Right across the river from where I grew up. I am so sorry. How did I forget Purdue?
No one forgets Purdue.
No.
You know, as a member of the Congress, I'd love to hear from you. You know, how have you been able to take, you know, your CM2 expertise and, you know, maybe even some of the contributions in conversations from the Congress back to your organization, which is SubZero today? What have you been able to do and how have you been able to do that?
You know, I'm not going to pretend you guys didn't give me these questions before. So I did want to take some time to think about how to answer this one. How does my group benefit? Well, how does my company benefit? And it's one of the things I'm doing with my most recent project that I'm going through. And as I'm laying out some of these processes and getting them laid out linearly so that people actually know the next time that they touch this, they don't need Mike there to guide them. We're going to give them a set of guides. And some of the things that I've learned working with you, especially the organizational change management portion of it, some of the other things that you did for us with the, I want to underscore the importance of this, but when I say it was just the project management, everybody knows that project management level is a horrible burden, but is a necessary burden. I don't want to say horrible, but it is a heavy burden. So there are certain things that have come back, you know, to us that we really like, that we want to make sure that we continue with any new project that I'm looking at. One of them is, what is the common set of processes that we need to follow? Now, if you have that laid out, what are these processes? What is that doing for us? Well, it's building that common vocabulary. You build that common vocabulary, you come back with a common definition. That common definition is CM. The guidelines that you follow, that's CM2. And if we're doing this at an enterprise level, or I should say that's CM2 if we're doing it at an enterprise level. So what is that doing for us? So you take a look at it. We're going to set up a common set of practices or processes or vocabulary, definition, guidelines, implement faster. Implement faster and more secure. And the thought that went into this, everything was followed. You do that, you get no gaps in your production line. Whatever that production line is, you won't have those gaps anymore. Because a moment of self-reflection on one of the best time I ever had with introducing a new product, I'm talking about what I just said there. That's CM2. That backbone of that information is CM2, period. And that's the benefit to the organization. Implement faster. I heard it from almost the very beginning. If you do this and you implement faster, you're basically weaponizing your change process. This is not something your competitors are doing. So why wouldn't you do those?
That's excellent, Mike. I think that really resonates obviously with me, but I'm pretty sure that would resonate with plenty of the listeners as well as, you know, what are they doing that their competitors are not doing from a competitive advantage standpoint, right? And sometimes I think it's very common for people to see, you know, change in configuration management is kind of a necessary evil and, you know, and it's the cost of doing business and thinking about processes upstairs, the same way you think about processes downstairs, I think is really an opportunity for people to work on some big step changes in their organization. So
agreed. That's why I keep trying to clarify and break it down continuously going down to the, you know, who am I explaining this to and trying to get better at that.
Yeah, because it's not easy. That's not an easy thing to do is what you're saying is every single level of the organization, you have to have the right message that resonates with them and it's not going to be the same.
No, it's just more paperwork I have to fill out. I had this conversation with some people just the other day. Barris and I have had this conversation as well. A lot of times our change analysts are seen as being a necessary evil. And Barris is very quick to point out they're not a necessary evil. They're just necessary. And we broke down some of the attributes, what makes a good CM or change analyst. And one of them, he goes, first and foremost, they're world-class problem solvers. Find your problem solvers, make them CM2 missionaries, and you will solve the world's problems. So again, get a little passionate with it, but you know, we have fun talking about this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Very fun. So I think that that helps, you know, the listeners understand the benefit, right, of what your organization is seeing from this. And I guess the Congress itself, you know, I think is kind of helping provide that common language and that common communication to support all the industries, right? Everyone is communicating with each other. Everyone is talking about the problems that they're having. How do we do this better? How have you done this? So I think that the Congress is helping to bring that knowledge and that shared experience back to their own organizations and trying to learn how to communicate, just like what you're saying, is how do we communicate this to all of the different people and the users in the organization? How do they absorb this? How do they use this? How do they take this thing and turn it into something tangible that they can work on today? You know, so I think it's those tidbits of what they can go back and do today, because sometimes these changes can seem overwhelming and big. And I always want to make sure that everyone realizes that, you know, you have so much influence just from your own seat, right? And laterally and vertically as well. So
go ahead. I was going to follow up on that and say one of the things that I have found over the last 6 or 7 years has been really to work on my listening skills. A couple of reasons, because I do work with a person offsite from us that's doing some work in the medical industry. I don't know anything about it. And any opinion I would render would be simply from a CM2 standpoint, right? But listening to what they're saying, listening to what they're going through, forces me to get out of my own little mindset of what I do for consumer products and say, what are they doing? Explain that to me. Come back and keep questioning and questioning and questioning. There is not one meeting I've ever come away from over the last several months where I have said, well, I got nothing out of that. Every meeting I come out of that, I'm sitting there going, I need to take a look at that from what I'm doing and see if I can improve it or make it work for me. Can I make it work for me? And it's the simplest of things. Those are the simple things that are going to change the world, not the big things. And that's going to change my little corner of the world. So I truly, truly, truly try to drive to a better listening standpoint of, okay. And I take a lot of notes. I'm sitting there going, let's cover this one more time for me. Or how did you do that? How did you turn that so quickly? And, oh, well, we just mocked it up here. This isn't the real screen. We just mocked it up. I said, hey, that's genius. You mocked it up. It looks exactly like the screen's going to look for the user. Why didn't I think of that? You know, I got some years on me. I should have thought of some of this along the way somewhere. But anyway. Sorry.
No, I think that's important. Sometimes I think we have a lot to share with others, but listening is also really important. We can always learn from others in all situations. I agree with that. I think it's a really great thing to focus on, and I'll do the same. So I guess, you know, I'm thinking about all this conversation might make people who are listening think about, hey, maybe the Congress is something I'd like to learn more about. I want to understand, is the Congress seeking to grow in the future? And is it seeking to have more members? And so what do you think about that?
Yeah, we are. I'm not going to say that's a full stop. We want to grow on an exponential basis. And we've got this out there. We want to grow by, you know, 1,500 people a year. No, we're not. We're not doing that. We need to have some measured growth that goes along with this. I work with so many CM2 people here in this one company. We have over 16 CM2Ps working for this company. I could go out and recruit all 16 and say, let's jump in here. And I've just overpacked the user consumer products. It can't be one-sided. So we are keeping a very close eye on that. And when we're asking for people to come on board with us. So primary to the next couple of years, or for the last 2 years, I'm sorry, time is flying past really quickly. One of the things that we want to make sure we're doing is we're having measured growth. And that measured growth is, you know, I don't want to overstuff any one group. I don't want to undercut anybody either. So if we have only one person, we're going to put them into a group that's very similar, like medical devices and medical records. We'll all go into one group. That'll give them enough to have a quorum type vote, just a simple majority quorum type vote. So those are the kind of things that we're looking at. Yes, we want to grow just from a standpoint so that the co-chair is responsible for new member acquisition and the chair is responsible for member retention, because we don't want to lose any of our members. If they just don't get any benefit out of it, then I want to know why. You've got my full attention. If you are getting benefit out of it and you are dropping off, is it because you're retiring? Well, believe it or not, we actually do have another level there. We can make you an emeritus member. So you have all the rights and privileges until the day you send me an email and says, or the chair, send the chair an email that says, I no longer want to be part of this. And we'll take you off the roster. Yeah, we do want to grow. We do want to grow at a measured pace. we have to grow, and we have to grow at a measured pace. Otherwise, you're just going to have people just retiring, and this will die. The Congress will die. And that's not going to happen on my watch.
Excellent. Thank you. Great answer. How would our listeners learn more about the Congress and just potentially just maybe be a part of the committee? You know, maybe it's something they just want to understand more about. This is an interesting concept for them.
Yeah, if you would ever like to be invited to one of our meetings, you can email me. You can get a hold of me on LinkedIn or through the IPX HQ, IPX Congress website page. You can get a hold of me there. All my information is there. Or you can just type in on the internet, Mr. Wonderful. Just be careful how you spell it. You'll eventually find me. You can get a hold of me there, and we'll invite you in. And we've done that with several of our new members, and they've said, yes, we want to be a part of this. This is interesting. So that's helpful. You can say, well, I want to come in as a contributor to this. Martijn has got one out there for Industry 4.0 right now. If a member wants to try to fill that slot from a different perspective, get the introduction to Martijn and say, Martijn, this person is interested. It seems like it's a pretty unique industry that would be thinking about Industry 4.0. Maybe you should talk to this person, see if they're a good fit, and he'll make that decision. But going forward, we have that category of contributor, and we have that category of an associate member where you have to be a CM2P to vote, or you don't get to become a member or an emeritus without the CM2P. And I think the last one we haven't considered yet is just, you know, building that bridge that says, yeah, we know you're not a member, but you would like to be part of a workshop that's coming up. We need to get those workshops out in front of people a little more clearly. And we can talk about that in our next executive team meeting. It says, so you forced me to think about this stuff. And that was one thing I thought about the other night, was that we could just have it open so people could join, but we were limited by the number of seats we've got on our Zoom meetings as well. So you would be allowed to attend possibly, and we've talked about this from time to time. You can attend, but you would not be able to have any direct questions. You could have some indirect questions. We can take those and give those to the workshop facilitators. We can talk about that.
Okay. You know, I guess, what about if our, you know, I think they understand now how they can reach out and they can find you to ask questions about the Congress. They can go through the IPX website and have a connection there. You know, what if the listeners just have questions specific to you about the work you have done through SubZero or about the Congress and just about your experience specifically? Would that be okay if they reached out to you directly?
Absolutely. Don't turn any phone call away when it comes to CM2 stuff. Just simply because, as I just stated earlier, just a few minutes ago, I listen and then I always learn something. Who would have thought donut making had anything to do with CM2 stuff? And if you don't think I can't go one degree right now and jump into donut making and how it relates to CM2, you would be wrong.
That's right. Absolutely wrong.
All I got to do is say lot quantities of flour. Go out and read the sections on lot handling. So
you're right. Food and beverage is another highly regulated industry, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Krispy Kreme does not get where they're at just because they decided to throw a couple of ingredients together. Well, they probably did, but now they have to be much more regulated.
Absolutely. Well, excellent. Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate the Congress. I appreciate your contributions to the Congress. I think the Congress itself is super valuable to each other, to the members inside the Congress. Like you're saying, the, you know, connect, inspire, and mentor. I think, you know, I'm seeing it and I believe in it. And I think it's been a really, really great thing for this group of people. Now, it's also extremely valuable for IPX as well. I really appreciate all the work that's done there because it does help us. It helps us make sure that we're constantly challenging ourselves. We're making sure that, you know, we're keeping it current and growing along with the industry's needs as well. And I think it's really fantastic. So thanks again and keep up the good work.
I will do that. And I wanted to say thank you to you as well, Brandy. To those who don't know, Brandy sits on our executive team meetings for the IPX Congress, as does Ray. Not just by attending the meetings, but also the financial help in the background with running this, because the Congress is free. There's nothing comes out of our pockets as members. And I wanted to thank all of our rank and file members as well. They're the ones that are keeping this afloat. They're the ones helping us out and telling us if we're doing a good job or a bad job. And we need to reach out to them more often than we have. I realize that too. That's also on my list for the agenda tomorrow, is where do we stand on, you know, getting more feedback from our rank and file membership. But all along, the people who have been there the longest are the people who are supporting us the most, and the people who are ready to go helping out as well. So I appreciate all the help and support I've gotten over the last couple of years. And I can't say it enough. I want to thank Katie for leading the way last year to help me have a successful 2022 with the Congress. And I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries, Mike. Thanks again. I really appreciate you taking the time to share and give some people recognition. I think that's a fantastic opportunity to do such and just explain everything from your experience on the Congress. So thanks again. And we hope to hear from people out there who are interested in learning more.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
You too.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to subscribe and review the show. And for more information on IPX, visit ipxhq.com.